Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to another live feed update brought to you by Rob as a Podcast. I am here as your host today. I am Taryn Armstrong, and today I've got a new face for you. You may not know this person, but he's been doing the power rankings on the Rob as a website. So this is Matt Liguori. How you doing, Matt?
Good morning. Happy to be here, even if it is very, very early. At least I'm on the East Coast with you and not 5 a.m. on the West Coast, but I'm happy to be here.
Yes. Yeah, Matt. Matt has been staying with us at Podcast House on occasion when we go to New York, and I think I've beaten him at Mario Party twice now, so it's all good.
Yeah, the great Taryn Armstrong, master of Mario Party.
Oh, yeah. So we are here to tell you everything that happened on the feeds yesterday. Today is July 9th, and let's get into it. I mean, okay, so first of all, obviously, the big day yesterday, power veto. We had the picks, who's going to play in the power veto. And basically, the only chance Cody had was, is Christmas going to get picked first, and then is Cody going to get picked afterward? Did that happen, Matt?
No, it did not. Cody did not get picked at all. Neither did Christmas. So Christmas was able to hold on to her her secret power, and Cody did not have a chance to play in the veto and save himself.
Yes, unfortunate. So going into this veto, the only potential spoiler here is Ramsey's going to win it. They talked to Ramsey's a lot and said, hey, you got to throw it, man. You got to throw this veto. You can't win this veto. And even if you do win this veto, you'd better use it on Alex or Jason. Ramsey's was saying, yeah, I'll throw the veto. And if I do, for some reason win, I'll of course leave it, use it on Jason, or sorry, Jason, Josh, man, so many J names, on Alex or Josh. And, so that was the game plan going into the veto. And, ultimately, how does this turn out? Who wins the veto here?
Paul, your boy, has won the veto.
Paul
won the veto, and after all that conversation of Ramsey's talking about how he was willing to throw it, he's or at least maybe not necessarily telling them that he would throw it, but he's on board. You don't have to worry about him. He's in with the team. He's on board with the plan. Turns out that might not have been the way that things went down.
Yes, Ramsey's ultimately gets a this was a timed competition, so what Paul was looking for was Ramsey's, you better time out at a half hour. Mm-hmm. And Ramsey's got about 7 minutes, I believe, which is only a few minutes off from Paul's time. So it was looking like, yeah, hey, Ramsey's, you did not throw this competition.
Right.
We're not happy about that.
And as feeds came back, Ramsey's quickly went into the HOH room to talk to Paul, and he was trying to explain, like, I know this looks sketchy, I know this looks kind of weird, and you're probably not going to believe me, but I really didn't want to win it. I didn't want to throw it completely because I thought that might look weird, but I really wasn't trying to win, I promise.
Yeah, it's not looking good for Ramsey's here. He's really on the outs. You know, still getting blamed for most of Kevin's lies. Mm-hmm. Now he's got caught, you know, not throwing this veto, which really he shouldn't be in a position where everyone is mad at him for not throwing the veto. Paul was like, "Hey, I'm gonna scare the crap out of this kid. You know, he screwed us. What a snake! What a weasel!" I can't believe he didn't throw the power of veto competition to save his life like I told him to. Not the best look for Paul here, I think, being this angry with him and like right. Being just really mean about it.
I think on one hand, I can totally see that side where it's like, all right, Paul, calm down. Like he's being very vicious about it. But from Paul's perspective, I think that it is. It's probably somewhat good for him to be throwing Ramsey's out as such a big common, you know, house target, because if we're getting Cody out this week, Cody's going to be done. You know, Jessica's still around, but there's got to be other people in front of Paul that he's going to, you know, going to put their name out there and say, all right, this person is the next number one enemy, because he doesn't want it to be him when time runs out for his immunity and he can, you know, go up on the block.
Yeah, basically what Paul's trying to do is he's trying to set up the next three targets, which in his eyes are Jessica, Ramses, and Jason. And he's been doing a lot of work to put targets on those people. We have a question from Nina in the chat who asks, could Ramses go this week with all, you know, with all this hatred being, you know, spewing his way? I don't think Ramses is in danger of leaving this week, though. I think once Cody gets up on that block, there's no way he's not going home.
Yeah, it would take a very massive flip this week. And that's probably not something you'll see when somebody with as big of a target as Cody is on the block. You might be able to get, you know, if he has some good conversations with a Mark or with a Matt, maybe he can get one or two votes. Probably not. But it's really hard to see a Cody, you know, pull enough votes to get rid of Ramses right now.
Yeah, and Cody's really not even trying. He's still not even really talking to anybody. He's just sulking. And
The frogs have not left the lily pad in the have not room. Yeah. They have not gotten off of that in a few days or 2 days now.
Not happening. So as I mentioned, Paul is trying to put targets on some other people, including Jason. Jason essentially gets caught talking to Cody throughout the day. And obviously this is Paul is again jumping on this opportunity. Oh, Jason is talking to Cody. What is he doing? Why is he doing that? Putting a target on Jason's back and letting Alex know, hey, you know, Jason's messing this up for you.
And the thing is that Jason seems like he's very well liked in the house, but I don't know if that's just because he's got a lot of stories. He's a friendly, nice guy. He's, you know, he's relatively older than most of them, so I feel like a lot of them like him. But when it comes to the game, they're all taking any opportunity that they have to throw him under the bus. Alex and Kevin are not having anything to do with him right now. Alex keeps telling Kevin, you know what, if he wants to go off on his own and do whatever he wants to do over there, we can't stop him. We just have to worry about us and our game. So if Jason is gonna, you know, keep playing let me be best friends with Cody and Jessica, he's not gonna find himself with very many allies, you know, after this week, especially Alex and you know, Kevin, who he's been the closest to so far.
Yeah, Alex seems to be the only one on the other side of things, apart from obviously people like Kevin, but the only one who's not actually aligned with that main group and still wants to like come after them at some point. But she's trying to play it as smart as she can. She's staying out of their radar and she's doing a good job of it. People are very happy with Alex and how she's handled this whole situation. She's saying she doesn't want to start a war if she doesn't have to. It's just, I think it's a little unfortunate that our entire like hopes and dreams for a disruption to this like new house structure is in the person that like got herself put on the block 2 weeks in a row.
Exactly. But somehow it's so weird with Alex. I don't know what she does or if it's what it is about her, but 2 weeks in a row now she's been on the block, and the HOH comes away from this week loving her. They love everything about her. They want to keep her safe. They respect her. They have all this admiration for her. What is she doing in there that's making, maybe it's just the fact that she's laying low. She's not bothering anybody. Even the girls, like Jessica doesn't hate her as much as she used to. Elena and Raven, none of them are going after her like the way that they were trying to in the beginning. It's just she's willing to go on the block. She's not causing any waves, and everyone's like, you know, she's not that bad.
Yeah, you know, I think it's it might be this kind of thing where respect tends to just like follow other people. Like, so as soon as Cody says, I respect Alex, I think she's a great competitor, I think she deserves to be here, the more he says that, the more it just gets into other people's heads, like, yeah, Alex. You know, I don't see it right now, but other people respect Alex. So that, like, it changes how you look at somebody. And then as more time goes on, you start to think, yeah, I respect Alex. That's my idea. I think she's respectable. And then all of a sudden everybody respects Alex. Yeah. There you go. Cody helped her out.
it's similar in the way that people have been looking at Ramses. It's not like anybody's, you know, Ramses hasn't done anything to anybody in particular, but all of a sudden he's the biggest snake in the house. Nobody trusts him. We can't, you know, it's the same way that people are on board all, you know, with I love Alex. Now everybody's I hate Ramses. So that's what happens in the house.
We have a question from Alex who asks, why would Paul want to win this veto? As long as Ramses didn't win, his plan would have been successful without more blood on his hands. I tend to agree. I don't like the idea of winning HOH and veto in the same week if you don't absolutely have to. And I don't think Paul had to at all. I mean, he's safe for another week after this. I didn't like him winning HOH, let alone winning the veto as well. What do you think?
I think definitely if he could have avoided winning, but it seems like Ramses would have won if it wasn't Paul. So I guess in terms of Paul's plan going the exact way he wanted it to, he wanted to get Cody out. If Paul didn't win the veto, then Ramses probably would have won, is I think what we're getting from what they've been saying overnight. So Ramses probably would have won the veto, and then Paul's plan would have been completely, you know, out the door. So I guess the only way you can get it done, if the only way you can get it done is by doing it yourself, then I understand. But, you know, if he could have avoided it and Ramses didn't win, that would have been his best case scenario. But I don't know if that could have happened.
Yes, I do think it is true that Ramses would have won. However, you know, looking at it on the other hand, Paul was telling, you know, most of his alliance to throw the veto to him before the competition.
Yes,
so, he was hoping to win this one.
Right, just like he was hoping to win the HOH. But I mean, I guess when you have immunity for however long, I mean, I really don't like all the comparisons to Netta because I do think they're very different games. You know, Netta from Big Brother Canada 5. But I guess it is a little bit similar just in terms of the obvious, you know, surface level. Netta 1 week two HOH and then won the veto. And now Paul's in the same situation. I think Netta was week two, but it's, you know, he won the HOH and now he wants to keep all the power to himself and make sure everything goes according to his plan.
Yes, definitely a lot of comparisons to Netta. I do think their games are very different.
Yeah.
I definitely myself had a lot more faith in Netta being able to turn this around when she had HOH at this point. I think Paul, I mean, he's riding high right now and he's doing very well, obviously, for this particular week, but it's week two. And I feel like Paul himself was talking about how he learned that Big Brother is a marathon and he needs to, you know, understand that. But I mean, now he's already talking to the feeds, telling us like, oh, man, from week one, my master plan, like I let Cody win the HOH.
It's and all then he working. Came from,
it's all come together now. Week two. it's like, all right, Paul, like you had a successful 2 week stint in the Big Brother house. Like, let's slow it down for a second.
Yeah, Paul, I think last week was really scary for him. He thought he was making progress with Cody. He thought he was coming together with this big group. You know, he's the only vet in the house and he's coming in and he had a group of people to come together and they're all working with him. And then all of a sudden Cody pulled, you know, the veto out, put it on, No, I'm sorry. Alex won the veto. And, you know, Cody decided he wanted to use Paul as the renom, and Paul did not see that coming. So now he just has been playing. His back is up against the wall. Or at least that's how I feel like he feels. And, you know, full speed ahead.
Yeah. And again, you know, what Paul is doing is successful so far. He is really, you know, pitting people against each other pretty well. Like, you know, if this was, this is essentially a little bit what Derek was doing in the beginning of season 16, you know, taking out a huge target like Devin, in a very, like very, clean way, where there's not going to be a lot of dissension. Alex is, he talked to Alex. Alex is fine with remaining on the block. He plans to take off Josh. And Alex is happy with that. She's fine to play along. Which was the same thing that Derek did, you know, essentially getting people to volunteer to be on pawns and then taking Devin out in a very clean way and like really maintaining a level of power. Everybody in season 16 in the beginning was saying, King Derek, what a downfall he's going to have when all this catches up to him. So who knows? Maybe Paul turns out to be the next Derek. I don't think so, though. I feel like he's just a little too aggressive. Derek, I think Derek had an aggression in him, but it didn't come out very often. With Paul, it's like every 2 seconds. It's right. Like, oh man, that I'm gonna stick my foot so far up his rear end. Ramses, oh man, he's just the worst. He's super hyperactive, and I feel like Paul is just gonna, he can't help but cause his own downfall.
Exactly,
at some point.
And one of my worries that, you know, that comparison won't really hold up is just the fact that Derek had these working partnerships with other people, you know, the Codys and the Calebs that were, you know, as soon as the big alliance was going to break up and, you know, the little targets like the Britneys and the Pow Pows were going to be out of the way. And obviously Devin, he had people that were going to be in his corner no matter what. Cody was never leaving his side. Caleb and, you know, that bond got stronger as the game went on. But who does Paul have right now? He has Christmas and Mark and Elena, but it's such a big group and there's so many big power players in there that once the big targets are gone, it really is hard to see a scenario where you don't have somebody like like maybe Matt or Dominique, who eventually figures out, okay, Paul's the big guy. We got to get out now because Paul doesn't have enough players in his corner where he's going to have, you know, people to back him up when the time comes.
Yeah, I think maybe the reason I'm thinking of Derek, I mean, obviously the comparisons as far as like this particular week where he's getting at a big target, he's controlling the house, he's part of a huge alliance. I think the comparisons are there, but maybe it's also because I think the probably more apt comparison is Pauly, who took a lot of his game from Derek. So it's like Pauly was a, you know, a poor imitation of Derek, and now Paul is kind of doing an imitation of Pauly's game. And I feel like we might see a similar downfall with Paul. I think Paul has become Pauly in the way that Pauly became Paul.
I guess there's something there, but I mean, Paul, this Paul, not Pauly, definitely has way more of a social game that he can, you know, make this work rather than Paul. I mean, no, Pauly, too many Pauls rather than what Pauly was doing. So I'm still hopeful for him. And, you know, we'll just have to see how it plays out. But I think he's on a path where he's gonna be forced to, you know, keep playing this hard, because you can't really play this hard and then slow down. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what he does next week when he's not HOH, and if he's still, you know, guiding everybody in his alliance to say, okay, now we have to get Jessica out, or we have to get Ramses out, or whatever. And, you know, we'll see what he does next week.
Yes. I mean, you know, we'll see. You know, this is Paul. He's in a rough spot here. He's just playing very hard. I want to see him, you know, fade back into the background. Yeah. I'd love to see that happen. But
I think his best bet next week is if one of his allies goes home, which sounds weird, but I think he needs a Jessica, an Alex, a Ramses, somebody like that to win an HOH while he's still safe next week, and take out one of his alliance members, take out a Matt or a Mark, or, I mean, those are the big names on that side, so it'd probably be one of them. People are catching on to what Dominique is doing. Nobody's, you know, nobody's letting her slip by. They're at least talking about it. So if one of those guys gets taken out next week, his alliance will be shaken, and they'll feel like they need him a little bit more than they do right now. Because if things keep going, you know, smooth sailing for that group, they're not going to feel like they need Paul in 2 weeks when his immunity's up. They need to lose something so they feel like they need him still.
I completely agree. I feel like Paul, as much work as he's doing to create new targets for next week and moving forward, I feel like next week isn't the week he needs to worry about. It's the week after that, when he's not safe anymore. And it would be very beneficial to him if somebody like Jason or Ramses won an HOH and became a legitimate new enemy to the group,
right?
To keep the group solidified against this new enemy, not like, you do not want it to be kumbaya for this massive group that you've got. The more kumbaya it is, the more they're looking around at each other and saying, wait a minute, Paul is really well positioned here. Mm-hmm. He's been doing everything. He's a great competitor. Maybe we need to take a shot.
Right. And so, it depends on, you know, who in that group is going to be the one to take the shot. Obviously, it depends on, you know, who wins the HOHs down the road. But there's not a lot of people in there that seem like they're dying to take that shot. So, yeah.
We have a question from Cindy. Once Cody goes home this week, what is Jessica's fate? Will she be the target next week, or can she turn her game around? She did have a conversation with Paul where she essentially was just like, this sucks. I hate being ostracized. I hate the personal aspect of this. And Paul kind of gave her like a pep talk. But I don't know. This is not looking great for Jessica.
She's again, you know, just like Cody, they've been spending the week so far together on the lily pad, just, you know, nose to nose and not leaving each other's side. And there's nothing from Jessica going to anybody else in the house that is going to make anybody feel like they want to bring her in and talk to her. As soon as the competition was over, she, you know, she's running to Paul in the HOH room, and she's like, nobody asked me if I feel okay. Nobody asked me if I'm all right. Like, you don't talk to any of them. Why would anyone come up to you? Why would anyone care how you're feeling or if you're okay? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, obviously from us watching in, you know, Jessica's gonna, you know, say whatever she wants and feel however she wants in there, because she feels like she's the victim. Don't tell Cody. But she's not making any friends, and that's what she's gonna need once Cody's gone.
And Paul is the worst person to go to, because the second she stops talking to Paul, he's like, you know, pointing a gun to his head, like, oh God, so annoying. And then he's going and complaining about her to everyone, continuing to make her an even bigger target, right, using everything she said against her. She should be going to the people she actually had a good connection with. I know she thought she had a good connection with Paul, but this is a vet you're talking about. Right. This is the guy that's playing the game harder than anyone. You should be going to somebody like Matt or Mark, who you like. Mark in particular, I think you can pull on his heartstrings a little. Somebody that like is not as game focused and who you can actually make some inroads with. Maybe even just even at like worst case scenario, put some suspicion on them. Why are they talking to you for so long? Anything other than Paul,
right?
Anyone other than Paul.
She's not going to do any of this. She's not going to leave Cody's side until the second that he walks out the door. And then even after that, she's going to sit there and mope for a few days. And we're not going to get anything that we want out of Jessica. We're not getting it.
Yes, Nikki does point out the target for next week still is Ramses, though. So, I mean, it does seem like she'll have a little bit of time, hopefully. You know, granted, she's probably the backup target, although Jason could also be that backup target. From what Paul is saying, he probably wants Jessica and Ramses up on the block, with Ramses as the target and Jason as the backdoor target. So it does seem like she'll probably, skate by for another week. But I don't know if that's enough time for her to reintegrate into the group. She's just been isolated herself so much.
Right. She's like I said, she's not making any friends, and she's lucky that Jason's in the house still, and he's become such a big target that people don't want anything to do with Jason in the game. Even his own allies don't want anything to do with him. You have Ramses, who obviously is, you know, causing all these waves just because he threw the veto. I mean, he's not even doing anything, but they're turning him into a target. So she's lucky to have those two around her in the house. But you know, if she doesn't help herself this week, she's not going to have anyone that's, you know, willing to, you know, jump in front and save her.
Yes, we have a question from Marty asking, can Kevin keep up this game blaming Ramses? There was a great quote from Kevin that I saw this morning where, he was like, everyone's mad at Ramses for not throwing this power veto. And Kevin is like, ha, can't blame me for that one, Kenny. I was in the room. Ramses is the one blaming Kevin for things. But we also got Mark spilling the beans. Mark apparently didn't get the memo that we're supposed to protect Kevin from like this whole, like, Kevin is lying. We're supposed to protect that lie. Mark is telling Alex, wait a minute, I don't think Ramses voted out Jillian. I feel like Ramses voted to keep Jillian. I feel like Kevin is the one that voted out Jillian. Yeah, Mark. Yeah, you're supposed to lie about that. Why are you telling Alex?
You know, it feels like Mark can't do anything right unless Dominique brings him to a chessboard, sits him down and says, this is what you have to do and this is what you have to say. And I haven't seen much of that in the past few days since there's been a new HOH. So I feel like without Dominique telling him everything to do, he's just off on his own. And it's like, you know, it's like the dog. You have to be like, all right, sit boy, do this, do that. Like, you can't trust him on his own.
Yeah, he tells Alex, yeah, I'm pretty sure Kevin is the one that voted out Jillian. And then he even has like Ramses in the room, and he's asking Ramses, like, you didn't vote out Jillian, did you? And Ramses is like, no, of course not. That was sort of how the night ended. So we'll see if that falls back on Kevin at all. It's weird because I've been kind of like curious, like what happens when Kevin gets outed? Like, I can't imagine people being angry with him in the same way that they're angry with Ramses or Josh. So it'll be interesting to see how he manages to deflect if Alex gets suspicious and decides to talk to him. But yeah, I mean, this could be the beginning of the end for Kevin's house of cards.
I've been really worried for Kevin because I feel like the game he's been trying to play is not going to last very long. If he came in and laid low, or at least I thought he was going to do, I think he would have been in a much better position. But now, you know, week two, he's trying to, you know, put in a hinky vote. I don't know. Was it a hinky vote or was he just, you know, voting how he wanted to vote? He doesn't want to tell anybody how he actually voted. So But the problem is that once people compare notes, obviously they're not doing it right now because we have Cody's in the house and we have Ramsey's and Jason. But once people decide to compare notes, this could be week seven for all we care. And somebody's going to say, remember that time that Kevin said he voted for Christmas, but he voted to save Jillian, but he actually voted to save Christmas. That will come into play at some point in this game. When Kevin is taken out of the game, if that does happen, this will come up and it's going to bite him in the butt.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but I'm loving it right now. I'm loving the Kevin lies. Krista asks, has Jillian been on social media or anything? Should we fully expect a battle back? As far as I'm aware, Jillian is not on social media. She appears to be MIA, just like Cameron. So there is definitely some sort of buyback in the works. But with Cody leaving this week, if it is a battle back, I have to imagine Cody is the one that gets back in, right?
I don't know. I think Jillian's got this. she's proven herself pretty well in competitions. No,
who?
Oh, okay. So yeah, Cody's definitely hopeful. I mean, I'm gonna say hopefully. I think he's got this. You know, if he's up against a Cameron, a Jillian, and let's say Ramsey's finds himself getting kicked out next week, hard to see a scenario where Cody doesn't come back in. I guess you never really know. But I think it's also best case scenario for anybody who wants fun and exciting feeds for Cody to come back in the house.
Yeah, you know, I still want Cameron to come. I feel like the game just did him dirty so bad. But I also feel like with Cody gone, this might get a little boring. And I like him as a villain. Mm-hmm. So I'd be happy with either of them coming back at this point. So that's that. That's our update for today. I hope you enjoyed it. There is a wonderful podcast coming up for you tonight. The Sunday episode will be tonight. We will learn all about who won the HOH, what the nominations are. And then there will be a special episode of Candy Crush with fan favorites, Paul and Devon, as well as some survivors and none other than Frankie Grande himself, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So that'll be a lot of fun. We're going to be live after Candy Crush. So we're going to watch Big Brother, then Candy Crush, and then Rob, Matt Hoffman, and myself will be back to talk about the episode and Candy Crush. I feel like this is my favorite combo of podcasts. This is the group that brought you the hand job booth.
So. I'm so excited for Matt Hoffman's return. So yes. Excited.
That should be a lot of fun. Make sure you check that out. You can also check out our Big Brother 2 blockumentary. But first, it's a great fun. If you want to check out Big Brother 2, it's always you know, Big Brother 2, so much fun. You can check out, you know, what happened back then that made the strategy go all the way to today where nobody's doing anything right. Who knows? But we explored the whole story. So check that out on Rob as a website. And thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next time.